HD Smartcast. You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint. I am Nasreen Sultana. I am an assistant editor at Mint. I keep a close track of all that is happening in the world of stock markets. You are listening to All Things Markets, where I speak to experts analyzing the big trends moving the stock markets. The fiscal trend during FY21 turned a corner in the October-December quarter with sequential improvement in revenues, particularly in GST and income tax collection, alongside already elevated excise duty collections helped by higher petroleum taxes. With pandemic risk largely capped for now, India has experienced a faster than expected pace of economic normalization. However, at the end of November, the government's fiscal deficit soared to 135% of FY21 budget estimates. So the crucial question is, how will the FM tackle the pesky issue of fiscal deficit in the budget? Will the budget lean towards fiscal prudence this time? To discuss that, I'm joined by Aditi Nair, Principal Economist at ICRA. Hi, Aditi. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Nasreen.
So, Aditi, since we are just a few days away from the budget, so what, according to you, are the key expectations from the budget this time?
So, Nasreen, we're at the juncture of a really interesting situation. We've got a terrible year behind us, which was 2020, which was punctuated by the pandemic, which has lasted far longer than what we thought. We've got a situation where the economy is in the midst of a recession. It's contracting in FY21. And we are expecting there to be a very sharp rebound in FY22 in any case, given the low base and given the normalization. So at this point in time, when the budget is being prepared, we're on this cusp essentially of the switch from the pandemic to a vaccine rollout and from a recession back to a high growth. Interestingly, the revenues of the government have already started to show some improvement in the last couple of months. But really assessing the revenue position of the government for the coming year, especially in terms of how much tax buoyancy will be practically achievable, remains somewhat of a challenge. So from the budget, our expectation is that there shouldn't be any excessive fiscal tightening. For FY21, we're expecting Government of India's fiscal deficit to expand all the way to 7.5% of GDP. And for next year, anyways, with a revenue normalization, things will improve, the fiscal strain will ease, and therefore possibly targeting a fiscal deficit of about 5% of GDP would be appropriate and would allow enough fiscal space for the Government of India to prioritize health expenditure, the vaccine rollout, as well as have enough space for a good amount of capital spending to boost the economy and to really help the revival to strengthen in the coming year.
Right. So you're basically saying health would be the priority, or health infrastructure would be the priority in the budget this year.
Health and capital expenditure.
Right. So I was actually coming to the capital expenditure in FY21 that the government capex was very low. Private capex was almost nil. You think government has room to further, create avenues for capital expenditure in the new fiscal?
So FY21 has actually been a very volatile year in terms of the monthly expenditure patterns. We've seen high growth in some months followed by contraction in other months. Overall, capital expenditure has increased by about 14% in the first 8 months of this fiscal, which sounds quite high, but in absolute terms, it's not a huge amount of increase. Revenue expenditure, on the other hand, has only gone up by 3-4%. So in comparison, capital expenditure has definitely shown a better performance in FY21 already. We think that for next year, if the revival in tax revenues is in line with the nominal GDP growth of around 14% that we're expecting, and if the disinvestment process is fairly aggressively pursued, especially given the fact that we have a healthy pipeline which is there in terms of what was already planned for FY21, but seems to be slipping into next year, in that case, we do think that there will be a fair bit of space to really push up the capital expenditure on the government's budget itself. So not only through extra budgetary resources, but the budgetary allocation for capital expenditure, we do think that there will be a fair bit of space to increase that in the coming year.
Okay. So what, according to you, will be government's priority in this budget will be, because anyways, like you mentioned, we are coming from a very, very volatile financial year in terms of the government expenditure and the revenue generation. But in this FY22, what will be government's priority as far as fiscal prudence or government's target will be growth?
So like I said, we think there should be a middle path which is pursued. We don't think that aggressive fiscal tightening is going to be appropriate at this point when we're trying to ensure that the nascent economic revival strengthens next year. So given the fact that revenue normalization will anyways help the fiscal deficit to ease back, we don't think that expenditure should be constrained to be able to keep a lower fiscal deficit and a lower borrowing number. At the same time, we don't think that the tax rates should be cut, because if the expected buoyancy doesn't actually end up being realized, we don't want a situation where expenditure has to be cut back later in the year to be able to remain within the fiscal targets. So it is a bit of an interesting dilemma at this point in time, but we think that having a fiscal deficit above our 5% of GDP will give enough space for expenditure and mean a borrowing program that can be reasonably well absorbed by the market.
Right. So Aditi, what are your views on the IIP numbers that was released last week that is showing a bit of contraction and the CPI inflation?
On the IIP, we were expecting a slightly deeper contraction. So this was actually not as bad as what we had feared. There was a very negative, very sharp base effect for November of 2020, given the fact that we had a later Diwali and we had a lot more holidays this time in November as compared to last year. Also, we have to keep in mind that in the last couple of months, the build-up to the festive season had been there, and there was some amount of satiation of demand with the festive season and a bit of temporary slack after that. Most of the indicators that we have so far for December are actually pointing to a fairly solid rebound. So our view is that the contraction in the IIP in November is likely to be fleeting, and we're going to get better numbers after that. Having said that, given the kind of stage of economic recovery that we're in right now, there will be some hiccups every now and then in different indicators. So we did see exports worsening in October and November, only to rebound very strongly in December. And intermittent hiccups like this can only, should be expected as we get back to the pre-COVID levels.
See, Aditi, in December, even the GST collections were good, and in fact it was very strong, but again it is linked to the festive demand and the festive purchases that people did, and also the pent-up demand that was there because of the lockdown. Do you believe that, or do you think that this consumer demand will sustain going forward in FY22?
You're quite right that the GST collections that we got in December are pertaining to the month of November, and that is indicating the healthy festive season demand. However, if you look at the GST e-way bills for December, those pertain to activity in the month of December, and they've been extremely healthy. So we are hopeful that the GST collections that we will get in the month of January, which will be reported in a couple of weeks, will also show a fairly healthy expansion over the year ago period. Coming to the CPI, it decelerated faster than what we were expecting, primarily because we got the sharp seasonal pullback in the vegetable prices. And this is something that we think we can see sustaining in the current month. Although there are other issues such as the edible oil prices, which remain really strong because of global supply concerns, and also the crude oil and the retail fuel prices, which have hardened in the current month. Core inflation we expect is going to remain relatively sticky now that demand is recovering. And overall, we see a small further dip in the CPI inflation in the month of January before an uptrend resumes over the rest of this fiscal year.
So Aditi, what is your overall estimate for GDP for FY21 and going forward in FY22?
For FY21, we have penciled in a contraction of 7.8%. This is very similar to the forecast that the NSO has put out in the first advanced estimate. Our view is that most likely the recession has continued in Q3 with a very small contraction, and we're expecting growth to resume in Q4. For FY22, there is a very sharp base effect and the expectation that as the vaccine rollout gathers traction, activity will normalize. However, we do see a multi-speed recovery with the discretionary consumption, private investment, and the contact-intensive sectors lagging the rest of the economy. So our view is that next year we will get a 10.1% expansion, but it's going to be quite varied across the different sectors.
Okay, but overall, it's going to be around 10% for FY22?
Yes.
Okay. You know, of course, in the last three quarters, we saw, at least in December and November, there was a bit of economic normalization after the lockdown. There's a bit of activity almost as a pre-COVID level. But do you, according to you, do you think this economic normalization will continue? And especially because vaccination process will start from 16 January. But besides that, there's also a fear of a new strand of the virus coming in. There are, in few parts of the world, there is a lockdown going on. But do you see in India the economic normalization to continue?
See, overall, our expectation is that we're going to gradually normalize back to pre-COVID levels. But it is going to be difficult for some sectors to get back to the pre-COVID levels and sustain over there in a durable manner. And there will be hiccups along the way. So it's not going to be smooth sailing back to the pre-COVID levels. But we do expect that at a varied pace, the economic activity is going to gradually normalize over the course of 2021.
Okay. You know, right now, the stock markets, you know, the RBI governor himself has said that there's a disconnect between the economy and the financial markets. As an economist, do you think this is very worrying? Because stock markets, as you know, has been rallying and has rallied more than 80% from the March crash. And we are, of course, still rising ahead. So what, according to you, could be the, macro challenges, or you think this is a healthy, growth?
Look, the stock markets always tend to be a lot more forward-looking than the rest of the market participants. And I think they're trying to look ahead and look at the economy being back at a pre-COVID level and what will be the earnings that will be commensurate with that. As far as economists like myself are concerned, we are looking more at the pitfalls along the way to getting back to the pre-COVID levels. And our forecasts are building in a range of possibilities, especially in terms of how quick or how lagged the vaccine rollout would be. And also the other concerns that can crop up along the way, like the new strains of COVID-19 that you mentioned. It's not likely to be smooth sailing from here on out. We are hopeful that things are getting a lot better and that they can sustain better levels of capacity utilization, for example. But outlook still remains somewhat uncertain in terms of how quickly we can get there. As far as the markets are concerned, I think there is a concern that asset bubbles may start building up, and the RBI has alluded to that as well. So I'm sure that, in terms of financial stability, this is something that the regulators will be watchful of.
See, most of the rally in the stock markets is led by the foreign liquidity that has come from through the FII route. And that is mostly as a result of the ultra loose monetary policy stance that most of the global central banks have at the moment, especially after COVID. But many economists are also saying that this ultra accommodative monetary policy stance may be fast expiring, and the debate will probably shift to how to taper without disrupting growth prospects. What do you think? Do you think that the global central banks would start unwinding their balance sheets?
Yes, I do think that that's a gradual process that we're going to see unfolding in 2021 and going into 2022. In the Indian context, our view is that the CPI inflation is likely to remain above the midpoint of the Monetary Policy Committee's target of 4% for the third consecutive year in FY22. And therefore, there is no more space for rate cuts. And in our view, the accommodative stance will be changed to neutral, possibly around the August 2021 policy or later, once there is greater clarity on the durability of the economic recovery. At the same time, we do expect that the RBI is going to take calibrated measures to start unwinding the surplus liquidity, which is there. And this is definitely going to have to be a very delicate process to make sure that the liquidity is drained. At the same time, the economic recovery isn't hurt. So it is a fragile recovery, and it's going to be a very delicate balancing process going forward to really make sure that the recovery stays intact while the surplus liquidity is slowly drained out of the system.
Okay, Aditi, thanks a lot for talking to us and giving your time, and also for sharing your perspective.
Thank you, Nasreen.
For feedback, you can write to me at nasreen.s@lifemint.com, or you can reach out to me on Twitter at @nasreenstory. You can also reach out to us at HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And to listen to more podcasts like this, you need to log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.